Our reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 47 through 52. Again, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus speaking, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down, and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you understand all these things? Yes, they said, we do. And then he added, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's watch this video one more time for this last sermon in this series. Kingdom is here. Well, welcome again to Living Water Church, and today we're wrapping up this sermon series called Kingdom Treasure. And what we've been doing is we've been searching through the Bible, digging deep into God's Word, and discovering some deep spiritual truths that help us to live into the kingdom of God here on earth. And so week one, we learned that the kingdom is worth any price. That no matter what we have to give up to live in a relationship with Jesus, it is worth it. In that great exchange, what we get is so much better than what we let go of. Week two, we learn that God's kingdom starts small, but grows to make a major impact in the world that's around us. Last week, we discovered that when the kingdom of God is planted in the hearts of faithful Christians, that it takes root. And it produces a wonderful harvest in them and through them. And for those whose hearts are fertile, the seed planted in them ends up multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times over what has been sown into their life. Today we're going to take a look at one more kingdom treasure that helps us experience the kingdom life that Jesus came to usher in. The imagery that's used in this passage is one that I love because fishing can be so fun. And so, you know, I'm going to try to do something that's a little bit dangerous. I'm going to try to talk and cast and not hit anybody at the same time. Already Leanne's like, no, don't do that. All right. But, you know, one of my favorite pastimes, I'm going to try to go really careful. Really slow. One of my favorite pastimes when I was a kid, growing up in Maine, is me and my brothers, we would go fishing. Now in Maine, you know, there was a lot of choices that we could make. You know, we could, making her nervous. It's all right. You can catch it if you want, but I don't think. And so in Maine, you got lots of choices. You got streams all over the place, you know, you've got brooks, you've got lakes, just everywhere. And it can be a ton of fun. You know, because in Maine, the water's so clear, so you get to see the whole process, especially brook trout fishing. That was me and my brother's favorite thing. We'd go to a brook trout, and we'd find a rock, you know, that had kind of, you know, a nice big shadow, and we'd look for that shadow, and we'd put our hook right close to that shadow by that rock, and we'd start making the worm kind of go up and down, and you could watch this whole process as the fish starts to get coaxed out, and you try to keep him from getting that worm right away so he can grab it, and then you can hook it real easy, and people would duck in. Pastor Todd's being dangerous today. You know, it's gonna, can I concentrate and watch this fishing process? You know, but you could watch that whole thing, and it was a lot of fun. You'd grab that fish, you'd watch the full, you'd pull it in, and it just was a lot. As long as the mosquitoes weren't too big, it was something we really enjoyed. You know, but then we moved to Ohio when I was 12 years old. If you've ever been fishing in Ohio, it's got brown, muddy water. It just took all the fun out of fishing. And we did have a friend that took me and my brothers out in his boat on Buckeye Lake, and which was really a pond, in my opinion, and not a lake. I was really disappointed in that. But anyways, you know, in Ohio, you got a few rivers, and you got these fake ponds that are lakes that have been dammed up rivers. And it just wasn't fun. We'd go out on the boat, and we'd cast, and you'd just wait. And you'd wait. Couldn't see anything. Couldn't see any fish. You wait. And finally, maybe you catch a fish. But then you could feel the fight of the fish. But you couldn't see it until the fish actually got to the surface. And so it wasn't nearly as much fun. But whenever you did go fishing, all right, you can now breathe a sigh of relief. I did not hit a single person in that illustration. But when you did go fishing, the key to successful fishing is being at the right place at the right time and having something on that hook that would attract that fish to want it, to grab it. And so that's the way that you catch as many fish as is possible. And the interesting thing about today's Kingdom Treasure principle is that God is a fisherman. Jesus gives one more parable explaining what the kingdom of God is like that we find in the book of Matthew. And there are multiple instances where Jesus is just trying to give us handles to get our hands around what it's like for God to work in the world and for us to be a part of that. And once again, Jesus is speaking to a large group of people where Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50, again saying, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that's thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. And when the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. And that's the way it will be like at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus is presenting God as this master fisherman whose goal for his kingdom, just like a net like this, is to catch as many people as possible. You know, I learned to fish using a rod and reel, but the people in the ancient Near East had a different approach to fishing. You know, they used a large net like this, or even bigger, of course, to gather as many fish as possible. And that net, it'd be weighed so it would sink beneath the water. And while working as a team, many men would haul that net back up and bring that catch into the boats. When Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a net, this is the imagery that he's pulling from. God's kingdom is not some little hook and bobber trying to catch a single bite. It's a massive net that can hold a ton of fish. The fish that are being talked about in this kingdom treasure are people. And this is because God cares about rescuing as many people as possible from the destructive power of sin and welcoming them into the kingdom with him, in his kingdom, in eternity. And so here's a very important part of the story that Jesus shares with us in verse 47, where it says, this kingdom net is placed in the water to catch all kinds of fish. The separating of that catch takes place later. At this point, in this stage, it's all about getting as many people, as many fish into this net as possible. And the reason this is so important is because it's a reminder that God wants everyone to come to Him. That is His heart. He sent Jesus to earth to rescue the world. There's no picking and choosing who is in and who is out when the net goes down. Everyone is welcome. Okay? And so you have this net, right? And this net kind of looks like it's one big long string woven together, one big rope, but actually it's a whole bunch of strings that have been woven together to create this net. Okay, and so this net is this great big tool full of all these strings that are designed to catch as many fish as possible. And so the kingdom of God, it's made up of people just like you and me. And each person who's decided to follow Jesus and trust God with their heart, with their life, is a different strand in this net that has been woven together to make a way to reach others who are far from God. When individuals in a church family work together to share God's love through friendship, through serving, through invitation to be a part of the church, through love, God is fishing for souls in that process. However, many of us are guilty of spending only time with people who look like us, who think like us, who vote like us, who act like us, who like to do the same things we like to do, who think the same way. And when we do this, we end up missing out one of the fundamental truths about God's kingdom, that it is like a net that is let down and catches all kinds of fish. It is an open invitation to come and experience God's love. Many years ago, a pastor that I know was leading this group of students on a mission trip in the northeastern part of the United States. For several days, their group was going to be sharing their testimonies and evangelizing in this inner city. And this really, it made this group, many of them, rather uncomfortable. Because there were going to be people they were going to come across who were very different than they were. And as I understand this story, this process of sharing started really slow at first. Their group was kind of hesitant, and they're kind of sure. They're just unsure what to say to people as they met them as they were walking around. On their second day, one of the youngest students with them disappeared while they were walking around on a boardwalk near the ocean. After looking for him a little bit, they saw him sitting next to this big, burly biker on a bench. So now they're a little bit nervous. What's this about? And so this biker, you know, this kid, he was maybe at the most 75 pounds. Just a young seventh grader. And this biker could have easily broke him like a toothpick. And so they watched in horror as this middle school boy began to share the love of Jesus with this great big tattooed man. They were just waiting for the beating that would happen, or the angry comments, or the cuss word-laced debate that would start. But instead, they were really surprised as the biker began to cry. His heart was touched by this little boy's confidence and his love for his God. And this became a turning point for the entire group. They became empowered that day to start sharing their faith with everyone they came in contact with, despite any differences they might have had. They saw themselves as a net, and God wanted to use them to catch people. Several years ago, when I was living in Ohio, one of the guys in my weekly accountability group became involved with the Bill Glass organization called Behind the Walls, you know, where they go into local prisons to share the gospel. And eventually, he was able to talk the rest of our accountability group, including me, in joining him in doing this. And so what would happen is the Bill Glass organization, they would have a couple of special speakers as you went into this prison. And so it might be a Christian NFL football player, or maybe a well-known musician, or maybe it'd be someone who did a magic act and would share the gospel. But these people would share their testimony to the whole group. And then after that, the rest of us volunteers would go around with the aid of this pamphlet they gave us about the Romans Road of Salvation, and we would share our testimony with the inmates, the ones who were willing to listen to us, and then ask them if they would like to accept Jesus into their life. And I think many of these inmates were there just for a break in their normal routine. You know, they were able to talk with some people and just have a different perspective, a different conversation. But it was just great practice for us volunteers in learning how to share your faith with somebody and lead them to Christ. And it really felt like as you were doing that, you were casting this very wide net. And God was using your willingness to catch people for Jesus. And each time we went to a prison, there were a few that would accept Christ. And that made it so worth giving up that Saturday to do this. And so Jesus' parables is focused on the relentless work of God to catch people. Because in the end, the passage says that there is a sorting out that takes place on the shore. On the shore is where this massive number of fish is either being placed into a basket to be kept or they're thrown away. And the fish that are kept are like the souls of those who respond to the overwhelming love, grace, and forgiveness that's offered by God in the way of salvation, of being connected with Jesus. And then the ones that are thrown away, the fish, that represents the souls of those who reject this offer of salvation that's been given to them by God. And the life of living for God through obedience to His Word. So in rejecting His kingdom, they'll spend eternity without God. And so we see that God is a fisherman. And so we need to fish like someone's life depends on it. You know, Jesus, when he was picking his disciples, he ended up choosing a few ordinary fishermen. And they ended up turning the whole world upside down. And so the question is, what do you have to offer? God is looking for some people who can swing a hammer to meet someone else's need. He's looking for someone who's never met a stranger who can share their God story of saving grace with them. He's looking for someone who has some financial resources to fund missional projects in our community. He's looking for someone who can bake a casserole for a family who's lost a loved one. What gift has God given you that He can use to spread this good news? You know, you don't have to have a seminary training or to have the Bible memorized or feel like you've figured out the answer to every question someone might ask you. You just have to care enough about the lives of people as you go about your day so that you will fish in your own unique way like someone's life depends on it eternally. So this parable feels like kind of a harsh lesson that Jesus is giving. However, you have to remember that God's heart is to save the world, not to condemn it. The Bible says it like this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, the promise of Him coming back a second time, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. That's His heart. Not everybody will, but His heart is that everyone would accept this free gift of grace. And God is patient in His offering of grace. And just like a good fisherman, God waits for us to respond to His offer of love. He offers us salvation through Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, and that offer is on the table. That offer, it never expires. Eventually, one day we do, but that offer is on the table. It's yours if you want to take it today. Jesus himself uses the kingdom treasure principle when he recruits his followers in the Bible. As Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, there would have been a whole bunch of different fishermen out and about tending their nets or counting their catch. But while he's walking, he meets these ordinary men. We heard the read for us just a minute ago by Olivia, but Matthew 4, 18 through 20 says, "One day as Jesus was walking along that shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, 'Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.' And they left their nets at once and followed him." So he finds these two brothers, and they're just casting their nets. They're just fishing for their livelihood. They fish to feed their family, or they fish to make money to pay bills. There's nothing special about them. These two guys have no special skills that make them particularly desirable by Jesus. They don't have any money in the bank to fund his ministry. They don't have any influential people in their life. He just chooses them because they were whom God the Father asked Jesus to choose. God is a fisherman. Fish like someone's life depends on it, and God wants us to be the net. Jesus gives them an invitation that is echoed over and over through the Gospels. He says, "Come, follow me. Come and learn from me. Come, spend some time with me. Come, be a part of this kingdom of God that's being ushered in." Jesus was offering to be their rabbi or teacher, and for them to be his disciples or his students. And the goal of every disciple was not just to know what the rabbi knows, but to do what the rabbi does. It's not just a mind thing. It is a doing of what you believe. Jesus came into this world to spread the net, and he wanted others to help him reach the world. So the brothers leave their nets and no longer fish for fish. They begin to fish for people. And there's an invitation for us here as well. Are you willing to follow Jesus and be fishers of people? Are you willing to share the kingdom treasure that we have found with those who are around us who are in need of God's grace and love? Remember from last week that Jesus said that the good soil represented people who did three things. They heard God's word, and they understood God's word, and then they produced a harvest. 30, 60, even 100 times what had been sown into their hearts. They became fishers of people. And we have something that the world so desperately needs, and many don't even know it. There was once a young salesman who was disappointed about losing this great big sale he'd been working so hard on, spending a whole bunch of time on, and it had just fallen apart. And so as he was talking to his sales manager, he lamented, "I guess it just proves that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." The manager replied, "Son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty." And so it is with sharing our faith. Our lives should be so filled with Jesus that being around us creates a thirst for the gospel. You know, when we find ourselves caught by the grace of God, our lives ought to show it. This is the way the net works. We show the joy that comes from living in a right relationship with God, and the world sees what we have, and the hope is that they will want it as well. And as God gives us the opportunity, we then share how God has changed our lives, and that he could do the same for them as well. And so that question is, you know, when people see me, do they see the joy of the Lord, or do they see someone they'd just rather not be? Do they see a whole lot of negativity, or do they see an enthusiasm of what God's doing? Is there a contagiousness to our conversations of what's this person? They just went through this terrible thing, and how can they be this way? How can they have joy? I'd be devastated. What's different about this person? That is what the net is supposed to be designed to do. That our lives attract people to us, and they want to know what's different. But many times we kind of want to fit in. We don't want to be different. And then there's no thirst for what we have. And so our goal is to make people thirsty for the gospel by living the gospel out in life. And it is so easy to overcomplicate this. The goal isn't to convince people that they are going to hell and they need a savior. That might be true, but that's not the goal, to convince them. The goal isn't to prove to people that the Bible is true and the world's ways are full of lies. Might be true, but it's not the goal. The goal is to be so close to Jesus, so in love with Jesus, so like Jesus that people see Jesus in what we do, and people hear what Jesus says in what we say. And then when you get the opportunity to share why you're a Christian, it is as simple as just sharing your personal story of who you were before you were a Christian, why you became a Christian, and what's God doing right now. And you know, for some of us, we've been a Christian since we were a kid. And there might be not a big story on the beginning part of your life. But you would say, you know, I grew up in church. And eventually I began to realize that I had to accept this faith of my parents and make it my own. And so this is what happened when I accepted Christ. You know, I was at church, I was at camp, I was at a retreat, I was in Sunday school, and I gave my heart to Jesus, and this is what God's doing right now. Of course, the problem is if God's not doing anything, how long has it been since your testimony of what God's doing in your life? How fresh is that relationship? Because we should have some stories of what God has challenged me to do this. Boy, I didn't want to do it, but I did it. And wow, what God did. Because I said yes. That's the testimony. And you know, and people, your friends, your family, the Bible might not mean anything to them. But your story, that's different. Because it's your story. It's what God is doing in your life. It's the power of what the gospel is all about. Sharing your story of what God is doing. And so our job is just to share, and the Holy Spirit does all the rest. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, not ours. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convince, that's not our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to save, that's not our job. Our calling, each and every one of us, is simply to share what God has done for us, and that he can do it for them too. That's our job. And then we let the Holy Spirit do the rest in the Holy Spirit's timing. And then you just sit back and watch as you consistently say yes to those opportunities, and you begin to see that harvest 30, 60, even 100-fold of what's been sown into your life. So how are you going to let your life be used by Jesus to reach others? We're all unique. We're all different. We all have different gifts. We all have different passions. And so we just take what we have and we say, Jesus, use it. I don't have much. Use it. And then we look for those opportunities to give those little Jesuses out, or to send an email to encourage, or to just take a moment and say, you know, it looks like you're having a tough day. Can I pray for you? And just see how God uses our availability to the power of the gospel to change someone's life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for every seed that was sown into our life. Whether they're seeds that were sown from parents, or maybe seeds that were sown by a Sunday school teacher, or a youth group leader, or a pastor, or a friend. Whatever those seeds were, however they were sown, we thank you for the seeds that eventually found some good soil and grew up into a faith. God, may our soil be so fertile that we begin to see a harvest of others coming to Christ because we just simply cared a moment to encourage someone. Because we just simply took the time to take some food to a family that was moving or struggling. Because we simply took some time to make a phone call to someone we hadn't seen in a while. And you used it to spread some seed into that person's life. Oh, may we be looking for opportunities. We get so busy, God. I get so busy. May we carve time in our schedule so we're not running from A to B to C to D that we never even think about you throughout the day. May we just be in this attitude of prayer as we go from one thing to the next of, God, what are you doing around me? How can I join you? Who can I bless? Who can I say something to? Who can I encourage? Help us to see these opportunities. Help us not to miss them. God, they're so easy to miss. May we learn to become more and more sensitive to that little nudge. That little nudge that says, take a moment, have a conversation with this person, they're struggling. Take a moment, this person needs to hear that I love them. Take a moment. This person has a physical need that will give you an opportunity to meet their spiritual need. God, may we see this as a great adventure of being used by the Holy Spirit to affect someone's spiritual eternity. What a joy it is to walk with you that closely. To be in a relationship with you so much that people see you, Jesus, instead of me. That people see the joy of the Lord rather than the wounds of my heart. That people see the grace rather than a spirit of judgmentalism or criticalness. That they see an attitude of love rather than an attitude of condemnation. God, may we see our church as this great big net where all of us are a part of this. We just have different gifts. We have different ways about us. We have different opportunities. And you use all of us to catch fish. Sorting out, you do that. We just catch people in the hopes of bringing them to you so they can find grace and love. Holy Spirit, if you're convicting, may even us who have been walking with you for years acknowledge that we can get better at this, that we've allowed fear to keep us to being used in this process, that we've allowed busyness, we've allowed responsibilities, we've allowed the enemy's lies to keep us from being a part of that net. May we in this moment just collectively recommit ourselves to being your hands and feet, to being the net, to being your spokesperson, to being your representative in this world. You have done so much for us, Jesus. You have given us so much. We have so much to be thankful for. May all those things that flow into us, may we learn to let it flow right back out so that you can continue to fill us up and it can continue to spill out to those around us. And I pray this in Jesus' precious, mighty, matchless name. Amen.